Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. I'm your host today, Dylan Simard. Joining me are Lynn Walker and Margaret Greutert from the Kodiak History Museum. How are the two of you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm excellent. So you're on today to tell us about a new exhibit that the Kodiak History Museum is having. Can you please go into detail?
Yes, so our new exhibit is debuting in December. It is called Making History Day by Day, Kodiak, Our Stories, and the COVID-19 Pandemic. And it is a reflection on life in Kodiak since March of 2020 when COVID hit. It's going to be pretty interesting to see how it goes.
So tell me what's included in the exhibit. I'm sure a lot of people have very different ideas about what one might put in an exhibit that talks about the pandemic.
Yes. So the exhibit is using materials that we collected through the Day by Day initiative started last year, where people could send in anything kind of COVID related, whether it be photos of when they were in quarantine, memes that they saw on Facebook or any other social media, news articles, personal reflections, kind of anything that embodied what they were going through. And so we are using that collection and we're collecting new materials for the exhibit. And we're going to be showing them in either digital or print format.
Okay. So is there like exhibit space, or is this going to be like an online situation?
So it is going to be a physical exhibit. It's going to travel around Kodiak starting in December. It's going to three to four different places before it comes to the museum in March of 2022. And so it's going to travel around. It's going to stay at each place about 2, maybe 3 weeks, and it's going to change at each place. So you're going to be seeing different things at each venue. And then at the museum, it's going to be the full thing with some additional stuff.
So the obvious next question is, what's the timetable for this? Like, when's the exhibit getting started? Are you still sourcing material? Will you be sourcing material throughout the period during which the exhibit is traveling?
Yes. So I've been working on this exhibit since pretty much I came to Kodiak in August, going through the old collection and collecting new materials. We're going to be collecting new materials up until about Friday of this week. However, we always welcome submissions since it's going to be a traveling one. So if someone sends me something really cool, it could be added later, kind of thing.
Is the museum writing evidently COVID has had an impact on everything, and surely it has on museums and museum visitations. Is the museum writing part of its own history into the COVID exhibit?
That's a good question. Not really. The exhibit is really prioritizing the experience of Kodiak as a community without a lot of input from the museum itself. I'm not really going to be creating text panels or an overarching narrative for the exhibit. It's really, I'm letting people's words and photos and everything tell the story for us. However, some of the people that did submit to the exhibit are museum employees. So, but it's going to be their personal experience rather than the museum.
Right. So you mentioned that the exhibits were going to be changing from location to location. And how will the exhibits be changing specifically?
Yeah, so it's going to be at each location, it's going to be there's going to be different photos, different narratives, kind of just different things. Some of the stuff will stay the same. And then we'll either add or take away depending on kind of the theme for each site. So we're playing around with the idea that each site is going to have like a different theme. Maybe one week we'll focus extra heavily on COVID hobbies. So we'll show people cooking or, you know, making bread. So it's going to change. Some things will stay the same, but it's going to be different photos, different materials, and everything.
So earlier I asked you about how the museum story would be reflected in the exhibit, and you said that it wouldn't be. But one thing I wanted to get into is, could you tell that story now? Could you talk a little bit about how COVID has impacted the operations of the museum?
I will let Margaret speak to that because I came in August of 2021. So I'm still kind of brand new. And she was here.
Yes. We did close in March 2021 to our exhibits to the public. And we reopened in the fall. And we've kind of been open off and on. And so we recently decided to close. Again, as of this fall, we have been offering research appointments this whole time. So anyone can make an appointment with me to come explore our collection. And then, you know, things are in the works to reopen pretty soon in the future, but no set date yet. But we've been pretty busy. We do a lot of stuff that's kind of non-exhibit work as well. And then it obviously takes a lot of back-end work, as Lynn was saying, to develop an exhibit. And so we've gotten a lot done while we've been closed and still been able to offer research services as well.
Okay. So back to the exhibit proper, how have people been submitting documents, and are there any sort of like unexpected materials that you've included into the exhibit that you'd like to talk about in particular?
Yeah, so people have been sending emails with their materials and stories, and they send it to me. So if anyone's interested, I'm still accepting submissions. It's curator@kodiakhistorymuseum.org. And I get the email, I look at the materials, download, and kind of look at what I have and see all that stuff going on. I think that answered your question.
I suppose it does. What is your vision for the final product of the exhibit? What will it look like when people are walking through?
Yeah, my vision for the exhibit, this is something that I've been working on the past week and will be working on in the coming 2 weeks. So my vision is really... there's going to be a lot of photos rather than words. I'm kind of, as I'm putting things together, I'm kind of envisioning kind of like a photo gallery album, like you walk into your grandparents' house and there's photos of all the grandkids. I'm kind of envisioning that. So I'm kind of envisioning that. So having people's photos, if people want us to use their story, we'll put the story right next to the photo. And then we have, so part of our day by day collection was the poster contest entries that the Kodiak Arts Council did last year. And so we have all those entries. So it's going to be, we're going to have some really cool posters that were made by students in Kodiak to go along with it, to kind of break up the photo and everything. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Okay. one of the topics that I really wanted to explore on this episode of Talk of the Rock, and one of the reasons I was so excited for this, was talking about how one curates and manages an exhibit in the digital age. I think a lot of people don't appreciate it, but actually the digital memory of the internet is very ephemeral. You still lose a lot of material, like even from... Just thinking about how many artifacts of the internet have sort of been lost from the 90s, and I'm sure that this is reflected in local preservation of data. So what I wanted to ask you was, the nature of this exhibit is digital material, right? You're not collecting items or artifacts from a particular time period, and this exhibit is not an exhibition of artifacts. It's an exhibition of media, so to say, of digital content. How has that affected the curation relative to a more traditional exhibit where you might be exhibiting particular artifacts to the public?
That's a really good question. So when creating an exhibit traditionally, you always kind of start off with an idea. And then you find the narrative, and then you find objects in your collection or objects that you would like to borrow from other institutions. And then you really let the objects tell the story with some interpretation and kind of guidance from the text. This exhibit and with digital is a little different in that it still started off with an idea, and it still is using a collection of materials, but the materials aren't physical. And so a lot of the issues that have been coming up are the best way to display digital material. So people send in photos to us, and I've been playing around with the idea of whether or not to print them or display them in the actual digital format. That it was intended and was originally created and is housed. Because when you start to alter digital materials into physical, you can lose something, a little bit of it. And so it's been kind of that game is what I've been working with, is what should I translate into physical so we can still have a physical exhibit and not have it be a total online digital experience, but also recognizing that we are using digital materials. We have some videos that were submitted to us, and it's how are we going to display those videos and not prioritize one video or the other and make sure everyone has access to the videos, you know. And so, yeah, so it's been kind of that game, I guess, that kind of
the balancing act.
Yeah, exactly. It's this balancing act of honoring the digital aspect of this collection, but also having to create a physical exhibit. And also Margaret can speak to kind of maintaining digital collections. It's something new that the museum has started to test out or experiment with. And so this exhibit and this collection are really kind of our first forays into it. So,
yeah, just to be clear, the day-by-day collection is not part of the museum's permanent collection. It's going to be part of our research files. And we just started our digital research files, so we do have filing cabinets at the museum with physical papers in it that are organized by topic that anyone can come search through. But then what happens if somebody submits something digitally, like an audio recording or an oral history or something like that? We need to file it away on our computers in the same way. And so that's where we're storing all of these submissions from the Day by Day project. It's in a folder. We also have a permanent collection of what we call born digital files. which is particularly interesting to me because we really haven't had that before. You think of photographs in our collection, these historic photographs, like a physical sepia, beautiful photograph that you have to touch with white gloves. But then all of the photographs that we've been getting recently were taken on a digital camera. And so how do you preserve that file type in the same way that you would preserve a physical object? And so really just recently we had the ability to do that at the museum. And so we're just starting to figure out how to catalog these types of materials, how to preserve them and share them in the same way as we do our physical objects. So this exhibit and our new collection system kind of go hand in hand. It's pretty fun.
So if I might expand on that idea a bit, I think a lot of people are under the impression that, you know, sort of like the ending scene in the first Indiana Jones movie where there's like, you know, this incredible volume of space where all of these artifacts are placed in boxes not to be seen. Has that changed? Like, have you basically like set up like a server farm and then hosted some of this material digitally in such a way where it's... say not exhibited, like it's not part of exhibited space, but you can effectively interact with it as a digital exhibit online?
We've experimented with that, but I think that's kind of the next step, is finding platforms that will allow us to share our collection, not just our Born Digital, which we have very few Born Digital collections, but also just our digitized things as well. And so far, we have tested uploading about 650 photographs on Alaska's digital archives. It's a conglomeration of museums and libraries around Alaska that have put their stuff online. But that's kind of our next step. How do we sustainably digitize our collection and store it? How do we access that type of metadata and store it? Things like that. So, yeah, that is in the works. That's what we're thinking about.
Lynn, I wanted to follow back on something with you that I should have explored earlier. You have mentioned the physical aspects of the exhibition, but can we get into a little bit what the digital aspects will be and how the general public will be able to interact with the digital side of the exhibition?
Yeah, so the exhibit is still kind of in the organizing phase. And so now we've collected the material and are still collecting the material. And now it's kind of, okay, we have this vision for the exhibit. How do we execute it? And with the digital aspects of it, you know, we have a computer that we can use to display the videos that were sent to us, and maybe some kind of slideshows of pictures or posters. But when it travels, we're not going to be able to take that computer with us. That would only be at the museum. And so then it's going into, how does this digital aspect of the work travel? Margaret and I were throwing ideas around the other day, and we're talking about maybe a QR code for things, where we have the QR code in the exhibit, and then maybe that will take you to a platform where you can view the art online digitally, like on your cell phone or anything, or we could have the QR code on, you know, a piece of paper that people take. So we're really kind of playing around with these ideas of how to display it digitally. The problem with digital exhibits, like data, is that the digital platform that you use can quickly age and become non-functional. And so then it gets to the idea of, well, if I choose to do a digital exhibit or these digital aspects and use a platform, are we going to maintain that in the future? How long is that going to be functional? And so those are things that we're thinking about right now. And yeah.
another thing I wanted to ask about the exhibit, and one of the reasons in particular that I enjoy so much about talking to museums on this show, is journalism is sort of the first draft, shall we say, of history, and museums is sort of the way, not necessarily the second draft, but at the very least, the way in which that second draft is displayed to the general public. So one thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, the aspects of this exhibit will probably be available in some form, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. How do you think that this material will be involved in telling the story of COVID in the far long term?
Yeah, so part of the inspiration of this exhibit and why the museum started doing the day-by-day collection for digital research files is that we want to recognize that we are currently undergoing something very historical. A lot of people have this idea that history has to be in the past. It has to be 50 years or, you know, something like the 90s or the 90s history kind of thing. But honestly, if you look at it, history is in the making right now. And what better way to collect historical materials is while it's happening? When we have the context, we have that lived experience that we can document. A lot of the times with museums, you're retroactively trying to find out information about the items that wasn't recorded when it was collected or just didn't get passed on. And so now we have the opportunity to really kind of have this robust amount of information for historical materials. Even though they're digital, they're still historical materials. So we're trying to shed light on that, and that digital files can be like artifacts or historical objects as well. So.
Do you mind if I add on to that?
Yeah.
Please.
A cool topic. One of the, kind of at the start of the pandemic in 2020, a big question that people kept asking me in collections is, do you have any information about the early 1900s Spanish flu pandemic? Like all these past pandemics that happened. And we really don't have that much. And kind of going with this day by day exhibit and project, it's like, wouldn't it have been cool in the early 1900s if a museum was like, hey, let me collect all these stories from people, and so you could really see what it was like for an everyday person, what types of media they were consuming. And we have the chance to do that now. And with digital files, it's even easier to collect and share in this day and age. And so that'll be cool when you say, like, what's going to happen 50 years from now? It's like, we're going to have so much stuff to show you.
Yeah. We just need to figure out the best way to preserve that digital data.
Well, that's certainly a problem that, any person interested in archiving the digital material is certainly asking themselves. Another question that I wanted to ask you: COVID has been a politicized issue in a particularly politicized time in our nation's history. Have you leaned into telling like political stories if people have given them to you, or have you leaned out of it, and why have you made that decision?
So I am a big proponent of the idea that museums are not neutral. Whether we take a stand explicitly by releasing statements or doing political exhibits, or by staying silent, that's taking another stand on its own. This exhibit was really, I wanted to show the full experience of COVID in Kodiak, and not really censor it. I didn't want to censor, apart from, you know, maybe foul language. But anyway, I didn't want to censor opinions or anything like that, because the museum is a great forum for these discussions. And I really wanted this exhibit to kind of be that for Kodiak. So we're
I welcome any and all political stories or anything. Yeah.
I think that's a really cool aspect. I hate to be the one to say it, but the COVID story may well persist. I mean, people are continuing to get ill. People are continuing to die of COVID-19. And we are also sort of on the precipice of maybe being in a situation where we have a regular vaccine and people will continue to die of COVID-19 for the remainder of our natural lifespans. How are you going to, is the exhibit going to change up going into the long term or potential long term, I should say, for COVID-19? And is there sort of a time at which you're going to reassess the material in the COVID exhibit and perhaps update it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been, even just with my friends, we've been talking about, you know, when is life going to go back to normal, pre-COVID normal. And it's this idea that there's going to be a new normal and that we might not ever, like, it might not ever end. You know, the flu is still around, kind of thing. And so we are, the beautiful aspect of this exhibit and the materials in it is that they are digital materials. So whether or not we lose, you know, 10 years in the future, whether or not we lose the physical panels, we'll still have the digital materials. And so it would be a cool, you know, maybe 5 years or 10 years in the future, do a retrospective on this time. And really look at it and how it's impacted our lives. I know when COVID started happening, a lot of history museums released online exhibits about past pandemics. And so that's one option that we could do. I really like the kind of reflective nature of exhibits. And so this is history and as it's happening, but it's still going to be happening, you know. It will change, it will grow. We'll have to see what the future holds.
We're down to our last few minutes here, and there is another question that I wanted to ask you. The COVID has impacted everything, right? I mean, you'll see from like things like drug overdose deaths to sales of board games to what have you, all sorts of aspects, and in particular these bizarre and unexpected statistical anomalies have occurred with direct explanation in the pandemic. Is there sort of a line at which you're drawing, like this is no longer relevant to the COVID story, or are you just letting it open and basically saying any issue that is even marginally COVID involved is relevant to this exhibit?
I would say so. If it's COVID related, it is relevant. Yeah.
I suppose that's entirely fair. But so to be clear, like there isn't like if you got some material that was exploring like a topical issue and had like a very, very anecdotal tie to COVID, you would still say, yeah, of course, makes sense to have it in our exhibit.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of my job as a curator is to, you know, kind of make those ties more. They may be inherent in the material, but part of curation is to make those ties even more explicit. And so if there's something that's COVID related, that may seem way out of base, you know, with board game statistics, we still welcome it. It's a different perspective on the pandemic and we welcome all perspectives. So.
And you can go so deep with some of these entries. Like one of our favorites is a photograph of a child in a shopping cart with a space helmet on at Walmart. And so you're like, oh, okay, space helmet, mask, shopping. But then kind of Lynn's job is to tease out those cool details. And so there's a printer in the shopping cart because they were working from home. So anyway, my point is that it can go as deep as you want it to go.
Margaret, Lynn, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on this episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. This has been Lynn Walker and Margaret Greutert from the Kodiak History Museum. I was your host today, Dylan Simard, and thank you both so very much for coming on.